Tara is not with us this morning. So. It's good to be here, and wonderful to have all our visitors with us today. You are our guests, and we welcome you. We really do. So today is the first day that Judith, our baby Judith, her first day in worship today. And we just thank God for her safe arrival, to see Sister Ruth with us and the family together as a unit, a bigger unit now. And we've been watching Michael over the weeks coming in, and he's farted asleep. But we give thanks to God that that Judith's safely here. We'll have a prayer. Let's have a prayer first, just to give thanks to God for the safe arrival of our new birth. Dear God and Father in heaven, we come before you with thankfulness in our hearts. What a beautiful day that you have given us today. And Father, our sister Ruth brought into this world a beautiful child. And Father, we are so thankful for Judith and her arrival here into this world. Your amazing creation. And Father, we pray for our brother Michael as he leads his family. We pray for the family as they unite together under your umbrella, that they bring Judith to a knowledge of you, that she sees in them the life of those who love you. And so, Father, we rejoice, we give thanks. You have blessed this congregation, you have blessed their family, and once again we have seen your amazing power and beauty. And so we give you all glory, and we give you all praise. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Amen, amen, brethren. Praise God. you know, the life that we have is a blessing in every way, every step of the way. Every day is something new, something wonderful. I'm thrilled that Amanda is here today. Amanda was one of the, I always say this, but Amanda was the first person who was ever baptised in the ministry here in Leicester. And we're just thrilled that she's here today, and we pray that God will bless you and be with you. And I pray that we can serve you as a congregation and do everything we can to support you and be at your side. We welcome you and your children as well. To all the parents, I want to thank you for bringing your children today. It's a tough job, isn't it? I brought seven up that I can take no credit. Listen, my wife did it all. Okay, I can take no credit at all. But I know how tough it is in the morning getting your children ready and getting yourselves ready and being here. What an example you are. And God bless you. Listen, if your children are a little bit noisy, that's fine. You know, we praise God. God wants to hear his children, doesn't he? In the assembly. So we thank him for that. Let me tell you that Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, I've used this example before, that if I was to run at the wall as hard as I can, I will not get through to the other side. I have to go through the door because it's impossible. Now, one of the jokes my children like to say is, Dad, if you hit that wall, you may well go through it. I think they're talking about all the weight, but it's impossible. It's impossible. And listen, without faith in God, it is impossible to please him. And so we need faith in our God. Hebrews 11, if we read back in the verses, of course, it uses all the examples of these people of faith. These people who achieved so many things through the faith that they had in a loving God. Every day, do not lose your faith in him. Every day, remember that if you want to please him, you have to have faith in him. And you have to trust that he is the one. In Psalms 19 and verse 1, and we refer to this, it's quite a popular passage when we talk about God's creation, the heavens declaring the glory of God. One of the things that I like to talk about, I remember when we was in Malawi in Africa, and we was preaching in lots of villages and lots of different places, and this one day we preached in a place, and they took us right up to the top of this kind of a mountain. Listen, it took me a lot of effort to get up there, let's say that. But Emmy was behind me, pushing me all the way, saying, "You'll make it, man, keep going." And I remember standing at the top, and all I could see were the plains of Africa. And I could see in the distance these wild animals and things that, I'm not used to that, I'm from England, come on. You may well have seen them, and it was amazing. And I remember thinking, that, you know, when the Bible talks about the heavens, what he's talking about is the things that these eyes can see. You know, the shepherds would be out in their fields at night, and the light would be unpolluted. I mean, we live in a land where the light's polluted. It's very difficult to get a clear view of the sky because it's so, there's lights everywhere. And I remember in Africa, of course, it was completely beautiful. And I remember looking up and thinking, wow, I mean, it was amazing. I've still not heard from Millie. She's somewhere in Tanzania. She's still there. I've seen some pictures, and I did see a picture of the expanse and the stars that somebody had taken. And it just reminded me, you know, of this passage. And so as these shepherds and these men were out and they were wandering around in God's creation, God's word spoke to them through his creation. It's amazing. What God's word tells us, what his world tells us is amazing. His word, his scriptures is just fantastic. Every time you read it, it just thrills you and it lifts you and it encourages you. But God's creation declares him. And so, you know, even today with little Judith, our little baby, Michael and Ruth's beautiful daughter, she tells you about God. And when you hear the story of the journey that the family have been on for this blessing, and you see the love and patience that they have had, it tells you about a Christian family who have their faith and trust in God. And God gives you the greatest blessing in the form of her beautiful daughter. But listen, the heavens declare the glory of God in every way, shape, and form. Have some faith in what God has given us. Have some faith in that. In Psalm 139, verse 13, it says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." You see, brethren, God was involved in you before you was even here. Isn't that amazing? That our lives were formed by our loving God. And even whilst in the womb of the mother, God is busy. And God is aware. And God is active. He formed our inward parts. You know, he covered you in your mother's womb. And so what do? You praise him. You praise him because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't that beautiful when you think about that? Wonderfully made. I was talking about a series of lessons that I'd heard over in Lubbock, in Texas. And one of the teachers was talking, in fact it was Jim McGuigan, which I know some people know Jim McGuigan. One of the things that Jim said was, he said, there's two creations. There's two creations, you see. So he said, the first creation God created, and the second creation was man come along and took God's things, and then man created. And I like that. It's like the story where the man says, "God, I'm gonna make a man just like you." And God says, "Well, go ahead and make a man just like me." So he picks up the soil, and God says, "There, get your own soil. You see, God created everything, but man took God's creation and moulded and formed it into his own way. Why is there so much suffering in the world? Because man created his messy mess with the amazing, beautiful creation that God had created. Why is there starving people? Well, because there are greedy people, and there are people with too much, and there are countries with too little. And why are there conflicts? Because there are greedy men who are fighting and wanting land and wanting territories and wanting power and wanting money and strength. But all of these things evolve around the fact that man took God's amazing creation to create for himself what he wanted. But the design that God created was perfect. It was perfect. And each and every human being on this planet was created perfectly by God. A newborn child, perfect. Beautiful. Beautiful. You see, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. What a mess man makes in his works. What a mess he makes. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. And what does he say? And skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. You see, God wants you to understand that what he created was perfection. He was pleased with it. If God's pleased with it, it's got to be good. A man made a mess, so much mess of it. And Acts 17:26 says, "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell in on all the faces of the earth, and he's determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." And then he says this in verse 27, "So that they should seek the Lord, in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us." Now, do you see what that's saying? God designed man to seek him. We look at the world. The world seeks something to follow. They worship idols. They worship football. They worship careers. They worship possessions. They find things. Man is always looking. Man is always on the search. Somebody says to me, "Can anybody become a Christian? Is it really true?" You know, I've met people from all walks of life who have become Christians, and they would have been the most unlikeliest of people you'd ever expect to become Christians. You see, the reason is that God, the designer, designed these men to seek after him. Do you know the nature of a child when a baby's born? He wants a mother, or he wants his mother. That's the first thing that the baby goes to. You look at even the animals. When they're born, they naturally seek their mother for their food and for their comfort. And that's the nature of God's creation. Well, do you know when God created you, he created you to naturally seek him. But the problem is that the world seeks in the wrong places. And they're not looking. They're not finding him. This is why the Word of God is so important. This is why the truth is the foundation by which we can only find God. And so we should seek the Lord with all our might. I love the bit where it says grope for him. I always think, imagine you're somewhere in the dark and you drop your glasses. And you're looking around for them. I'm going to find them. I'm going to find them. And you're feeling around for them. And eventually you find them. You're groping. You're seeking after them. And that is the same with how God designed his people. He designed us to seek after him. That is why never turn an opportunity down to teach the gospel. Never. Never turn down any opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Because God designed them to seek him. God designed them to grope for him. And so we need to allow to put ourselves ready to share with them the beauty. "For in him we live and move and have our being. And also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. When I think I've told this story before, but whenever I go away and my kids are with me, we like to walk. Jan and myself like to walk, the kids put up with it. And often we walk across the cliff top and I can hear one of the kids in the background saying, any minute now. They're saying the sermon's coming. And sure enough, before long, I can't help it. I said, look at this creation. Look what God has created. Look at this beauty. You know, Psalm 96, verse 4 says, it says, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. And of course, the gods with the lower G in your Bible. Note that. Because there's only one God. For all the gods, that's the small g, of the people are idols. That's who they are. If we worship anything other than the true God, we worship an idol. Because there is only one God. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord, he made the heavens. It belongs to him. It's his creation. And then listen to this. This is my favourite verse. Splendour and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. You see the beauty? Do you feel the beauty of all of that? Splendour and majesty. Splendour and majesty are before him. His creation, his beauty, everything that we have is because of our amazing God. So what does man do? What does man do? Jeremiah 18:15, because my people have forgotten me. They have burned incense to worthless idols, and they have caused themselves to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths to walk in pathways and not on the highway. In other words, people don't know. We're not sharing. If we're not sharing with our families, with our children, with our communities, with the people around us, and reminding ourselves daily of the creation that God has given us, we reject him. We forget him. I always recall many years ago at the Bible school, and they'd give you a chapter. That shocked me. So the first time one of the teachers came, he said, Paul, we've got a memory verse for you. I said, okay, Colossians chapter 2. He said, what verse? He said, all of it. I said, all of it. He said, all of it. Colossians chapter 2. How long have we got? You've got 2 weeks. It's Colossians chapter 2. I want to hear it. And you need to do it in the version that you learn it from. And we need to, I'm going to follow it. And make sure you've done that. And I'm going to make sure that you learn that. You know, the thing is this, when you do something like that and you keep doing it, 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 eventually you start to learn. And it's the same with God's word. You know, brethren, read your Bibles daily. Keep reading your Bibles daily. Take time. Read a gospel. You know, you can read novels in a week, but the word of God, what power, what amazing message you have there. That you can pick that up and just read and learn it and take it in and keep reading. You see, when you keep it fresh in your mind and in your soul and it becomes a part of you, you don't lose it. But you go away for a few years. Now, I'm pretty certain that if my teacher sat me down from 30 years ago and said, right, Paul, come on then. That memory verse I gave you 30 years ago, let's hear it, same version, I'd probably not be able to do it. You see? Because we have to remember that in order to remember God, we have to keep feeding upon it. We mentioned Psalm 78 this morning, where in the psalm it talks about passing on to the generations, telling the next generation. And so they didn't want the Israelites to forget how they were freed from captivity. And yet they did forget. They did forget. Because my people have forgotten me. They have burned incense to worthless idols. Why would they burn incense to worthless idols? Because God designed people to seek him. And if people do not learn the word, and if people do not have it passed on to them, they will seek something else. That's what happens. And that is why it's so important for us to feed upon the word. We keep saying, read your Bibles. Read them every day. Just find the time. Don't forget God. Seek Him. Seek His will. But man did reject Him, and rejection through philosophy and deceit. In Colossians, it talks about that. Colossians 2, verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to what the tradition of men. What is the world doing? This is what's going on in the world today. People, we were talking this morning when we mentioned Colossians about being wise in the way we act towards outsiders, and our brother raised an important question as to what kind of is this talking about? But listen, we need to share the truth, and we need to feed on the truth. Now the world, because it is not fed upon the truth, seeks the wrong things. Because man guides them into things that are not of the word of God. And so that is why the Apostle Paul in Colossians 2 told the church to be careful. Beware. In case any of you or anyone cheats you through philosophy and empty deceit. Things that are not of God. Things are not of the oracles of God. And so Acts 4, verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other. Brethren, we cannot be saved in any other way. For there is no other name on heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The only one. You want to show somebody how to be saved, you have to show them through the word of God. No other way. There is no other way. Just like... we laugh, brothers. I can tell you because you're here. Way back, we came over to Edmonton, and I got Brother Gary and some of the brothers in the car, and we had a great day. And we travelled over with Brother Samuel, and he led us all the way. No problem at all. Then coming home, Brother Gary Smith says to me, Paul, he says, are you going to put your sat nav on? I says, Brother Gary, I'm going to take you down London. We're going to go down the embankment, and we're going to have a lovely little drive through London, and we'll pick up the M1 further down. Don't you worry about a thing. He says, are you sure you're not going to use the sat nav? I says, we're fine. Don't you worry, you trust me, Brother Gary. So we spent about 3 hours rolling around and turning around and backwards and forwards and reversing. Brother Gary said, I'm never coming with you again. You can forget it. Next time we go to Edmonton, I'm going on the bus. I'm going on the National Express Plus. You see, it's... if I'd have put the sat nav on, it'd have got me home, wouldn't it? It'd have got me out of there. Or you use your road atlas, or you use someone who knows the way. Someone who's got the instructions. See, Brother Paul here, yeah, I know, you worry about this, Brother Gary, I know London. You worry about a thing. Well, it didn't work. But you see, in our Christian life, we need the truth. And the only way to guide people to salvation is through the word of God. The only way. And so there is no salvation in any other, no other name, under heaven, given among men, by which we must be saved. And so I'm going to conclude with this. I know it's hot today, and I believe that, you know, God's took care of us today with His word, and blessed us all, including myself. But I want to say this. In Matthew 7, and I know we've been studying Matthew for some weeks now, but when it talks about the two roads and entering by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go through. You see, what happens is this. Remember, God designed us to grope for Him. God designed us to seek Him. And what man is doing is he's looking. He's looking for. Even people in here, we're looking. We're looking for God. We're looking for the truth. We're looking for the way. We're looking for some understanding to how we can save and have this salvation. And so quite often many go through the routes that seem the obvious. They see a large crowd and say, that must be it. There's a small group down there, there's a family, you know, there's a congregation of 9 people or 10 people, there's a congregation of thousands down there. They must know the way. And so what happens is that the world is being led to destruction. And it says many will go by it. And that's where many will end up. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way. I've said this before. You know, and I say this, when people give their lives to Christ, this is going to be tough. Don't think it's going to be easy. This is going to be tough, but it's going to be worth it. Narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are a few who find it. And my prayer, brethren, my prayer is that each and every one of you will find it. You'll grope for him, and you'll seek him, and you'll find him, and we'll help you in every way we can. We'll meet with you, we'll study with you. If you want to study, we'll come to you and we'll study with you. But let me encourage you, be aware that the inheritance that he offers is an inheritance that's eternal, and it far outweighs all the things of this earth. I pray that God will bless you. I want to encourage you, if you're looking, if you're seeking, and you don't feel you're finding the answers, then let me encourage you to come and see us, so we can meet you and study with you and show you what we have found through his word. We won't give you our opinions, but we'll show you what we found. If you are struggling today and you want to have the prayers of this congregation, I'm going to ask you to remain standing at the conclusion of the last invitation hymn, so I can pray for you. If you want to give your life to Christ, come and see us so that we can help that happen. I pray that God will bless you, brother Emmanuel. Let's have the invitation.